Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to Morning Invest, everyone. I'm Clayton Morris, the show that brings you financial education. You know, the stuff we never learned in high school. Never learned how to invest in cryptocurrency or how to invest in real estate. Take control of your own finances. That's what this show is all about. On today's show, we've got a very busy show. The U.S. government stepping in just minutes ago on Johnson & Johnson, on that shot. The stock market plummeted on the news saying, we're going to pause this shot right now. The CDC and the FDA saying, uh-oh, we've got blood clot issues. Oh, no, we're going to put a pause on this thing. So concerns about the distribution. This is a big, big story. And the stock market plummeted on this news in the futures market before it opened this morning. Before it's opening, we still have about 30 minutes. Other things we're focusing on the show today is a fourth stimulus package starting to come together. We're going to look at the details. President Biden yesterday meeting with Republicans and Democrats. Will we see a new round of direct payments, recurring monthly payments? We're going to show you a number of new senators and members of the House of Representatives have jumped on board to support recurring stimulus checks. Also on Capitol Hill today, student loans will be front and center as Elizabeth Warren holds her first hearing on student loan forgiveness. Look at that. Also, if that's not enough, we've got our ballooning national debt to talk about. We've got new deficit numbers this morning, and they are really, really scary. And guess who's considering a gas tax to pay for all of this stimulus? President Biden. You could be paying more for gas real soon. Morning Invest starts right now. Welcome into the show. If you want to be more informed and learn something new every morning, you should join our daily newsletter, which is sent by email right to your inbox every morning between 6 and 7 a.m. Eastern time. The best part is it's totally free. Simply go to morninginvest.com, put in your email address, and you'll be added to our list. I apologize for Grover being on fire this morning. He's running around like crazy. But you know what he's upset about? He's upset about this news. Because I want to check the markets right now. Bitcoin is on fire. Let me check this here. Let's get some Bitcoin news. Look at this Bitcoin price. Holy smokes, this is a new high. Look at this, folks. You're thinking about, I saw some pre-market chatter here. People in our chat were talking, saying, I'm thinking about getting into Bitcoin. Look, you know this is taking off now, folks. I mean, this is getting serious. It was at 59, it was at 60, hovering around 60. It broke through that like psychological number of 60,000 yesterday. And look at this. I mean, this is crazy. This is an all-time high now for Bitcoin. This is just going to continue to go up, especially tomorrow, because we've got the Coinbase IPO announcement tomorrow. So 62.9. Right now. And it just hit three a minute ago. So 63,000 for Bitcoin, up 4% this morning. Let's check Ethereum. Ethereum also popping today. Here's another up 3%. If you bought in the other day when I was telling you about Ethereum, you would have been up 3% already. So I went heavy into Ethereum. I think the sky's the limit on Ethereum. Could hit 10, 20,000 here in the next next few weeks, few months. That's my opinion on Ethereum. So the two big boys right now in the crypto space, pretty big deal. Let's check the gold markets this morning, because with all of this movement on the stock market, where are precious metals going? Look, again, gold down and silver down. Again, might be an opportunity to jump into some of these precious metals, which are, of course, a hedge against inflation. We're going to see those inflation numbers coming out this morning as well from the government. So we're going to get our first signs of what Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell is planning to do on inflation, on these interest rates. Of course, you saw in the 60 Minutes interview just the other day, he said, we're going to allow inflation to creep up. We're going to hold it steady over 2% for a little time, and we'll then we'll raise rates, and that's when we'll take care of this thing. So it's coming, folks. U.S. dollar, better watch out. All these alternative currencies right now and cryptocurrency popping this morning. But let's start with our top story. Johnson & Johnson, a stock that might be in your 401k or your retirement plan. Federal health agencies this morning put out some troubling news about Johnson & Johnson. This was in the New York Times. They're going to pause the immediate pause now in the use of the Johnson & Johnson single dose vaccine. That's a big deal. After six recipients in the United States developed a rare disorder involving blood clots within about 2 weeks of the vaccination. Look at the stock down, plummeting this morning in pre-market trading. And you know what's interesting about this stock is that when they announced they were doing the coronavirus vaccine, like they didn't get any stock bounce. Like people weren't investing in Johnson & Johnson saying, oh, they're doing a vaccine, great. They didn't even get any real bounce because of it. So because now that they have this pause, there's a decline in it. And I just find that odd, don't you? I mean, it's if they didn't get any bounce from rolling the vaccine out, why are they getting hit now? Is it just a, you know, is it a PR problem for them now?
It's the other, it's the other providers trying to take them down.
Right. Well, they've got problems too. I mean, you see what AstraZeneca is dealing with right now. And now, I think the broader question now is, what's going to happen more broadly in the rollout, don't you think? I mean, you got six recipients. We're all women, by the way, between the ages of 18 and 48. One woman died because of this. A second woman in Nebraska has been in the hospital in critical condition. But millions of people have already received this. Nearly 7 million people in the U.S. have already received this shot so far. 9 million more doses have been shipped out to the states, according to the data from the Centers for the Disease Control and Prevention. But I think that there's bigger issues now for this rollout. We were talking about reopening, consumer spending, all of this stuff. But if suddenly we can't get these millions of additional shots out there,
well, and this is a testament to why you can't
supply constraint.
You can't bypass the process. You can't speed through the process. You have to do more testing and stuff. And that's the problem that I have with these is how fast they were pushed out. And now, you know, it's like you didn't see this. Like there wasn't enough testing that you saw this. So that's what scares me about it.
Right. I mean, and we don't yet know if it's because of a certain condition, that you may have had ahead of time. They're being cautious about this because we really just don't know. But the New York Times breaking this just a short time ago, calling for a pause after these clotting cases popped up. So Johnson & Johnson taking a hit, stock price down significantly this morning, getting alerts like crazy on this overall in the pre-market. So keep our eye on that, but that is not good news. The White House is sort of scrambling this morning. Watching some of their staff this morning was interesting. They're trying to get on the same page because it's like it happened around, 5:30 this morning. I saw the news and, the White House medical team is like, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Because they're promising that every adult will have a vaccine by the end of April, their first dose by the end of April. This puts a real wrench in the monkey. What does it do? What is it? A monkey in the wrench?
Or it just throws a real wrench in the plans is all I've heard.
Okay.
I don't think it has
throws
to do with
a wrench
that.
In the monkey.
Yeah. I don't think that's correct, but I could be wrong.
Grover, do you know? Do you have any idea? Throws a monkey in a wrench. I don't know. Grover, you're no help, buddy. Thanks for barking though for 30 minutes. I appreciate that. All right. Well, we've got some big stimulus news I want to get to in a moment here. But first, I want to tell you about our show sponsor. We've got a lot of stimulus news to get to. But our friends over at Blue Chew, now they're back. They said your audience was really responsive. And look, you don't have to be embarrassed about this. This is something that a lot of people deal with. And it's, guys, it's been a heck of a year. I mean, tell me about it, right? Personally, I feel like I've aged 12 years over the last 12 months. I know David aged 4 years in the last 2 weeks, like Benjamin Button going in reverse. So if you're feeling your age more than you used to, especially, in the bedroom, well, that's where Blue Chew comes in because it's a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form at a fraction of the cost. And the best part is that you'll get all Every form of ED is tackled by this. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor, no visits to the doctor, no awkward visits to the doctor, anything like that. And you'll actually get, what's amazing is too, there's no waiting lines. You don't have to go to a pharmacy. It ships right to your door in a discreet package, they say. The process is simple. Go to bluechew.com, and that's how you sign up. If you use the coupon code INVEST, you're going to get a free month. You're going to get a free month, free. And you'll just pay the shipping. That's it. Best part is the prescription will arrive at your home within days. Done. All online. So go to bluechew.com, use that code INVEST today to take advantage of them. And they are supporting independent journalism. So thank you for supporting Morning Invest. I appreciate it.
Christopher,
well, stimulus time, folks.
Really quick, Christopher Safford is saying Johnson & Johnson knew about the blood issues with their vaccine, but they said the percentage of it happening was outweighed and they went forward.
That's the thing, man. How do you, you're like, okay, we'll take a risk. And then what if you're one of the people who's, you know, the mom died as a result of taking this vaccine? You know, I mean, and then another woman right now is in critical condition.
Well, isn't that like,
I'm always curious, like what happens in the boardroom, you know, like cost benefit analysis, right? You're like, well, a few people might die, but it's okay. We'll get it out to millions.
It's less than COVID.
Right. And they all rush to get this out there. So AstraZeneca has problems, you know, Pfizer, I guess, you know, and then it's like a, who gets what, which one do you get to pick from? And I watched a video of Dr. Fauci this morning too, talking about this from a few weeks ago. And he said, look, all three of them, the efficacy is great on all three of them. He said, I would have taken any one of them. He's like, but I got the Moderna one, but I would have taken any of them. Sure. Do you have a choice, by the way? I mean, do you have a choice? You just get what they have available.
Yeah.
Right?
They spin a wheel and just pick one out of the thing. Like how does that work? I couldn't pick any of them right now. Like it's just, I feel like we're being guinea pigs, you know?
Yeah. It's scary. Yeah. And I mean, and then what's weird is right now, so many millions of these doses are waiting to be distributed to people right now, the Johnson & Johnson version. And they're going to have to pull those back. So it'll be entire communities that were about to get vaccinated. Not going to happen right now. So we'll keep our eye on this. If you're just joining us here, Johnson & Johnson, the CDC and the FDA pausing Johnson & Johnson rollout of their vaccine after a bunch of clotting cases on this. This is a big deal. New York Times reporting this, and they've had a number of people developing a rare blood clot as a result of this. And they're all women, by the way. All of the people that have had an issue with this are women. So keeping our eye on that story. I'm keeping my eye on this story, though, which is the stimulus. 74 members of Congress are now pushing for recurring direct payments through 2021. This is dozens more than were signed on a few weeks ago. And it's, could we see, I mean, the real question is right now, could we see a stimulus check and a recurring stimulus check? It could happen. 53 members of the House, 10 senators, including the chairs of the Senate, three major economic committees, have all now signed on to this. So these are top of the Senate. These aren't just like fringe members. They're all asking President Biden for expanded recurring stimulus payments that would continue for the duration of the crisis. The Senate letter specifically shows data and cites data on how effective the direct payments were, along with on the enhanced unemployment benefits that have been combating poverty. It also cites how popular the payments are with public, regardless of political views. The House also points out how quickly previous payments were used and how the particular pain of the color, people of color, reasons for the IRS to send out more. There were a lot of course, communities of color that were really hurt poorly, badly by this. And well, we know from the PPP loans, you know, it was like, it did not benefit. I was listening to a black business leader and he said, these PPP loans, they just were not meant for us. They were not meant for people of color. We just didn't have access to them. We couldn't get them. And so there was huge inequality in this first rollout last year. So these senators saying, quote, one check is not enough. Another one-time round of checks would provide a temporary timeline. But when that money runs out, families will again struggle to pay for basic necessities. So that's why they're calling for recurring direct payments, until the economy recovers so that people can meet their basic needs, provide racially equitable solutions, and shorten the length of the recession.
Well, and none of these states, none of these stimulus checks for throughout the, all of it, from the very first one, went to the people who needed it most. None of them. Mm-hmm.
Oh, of course not. And my biggest gripe, of course, with the PPP program was that, you know, if you're a business, all the big businesses had teams of people, lawyers and accountants that filed for it. And, you know, Carol, go take care of that. You know, that kind of thing, right? And if you're like a small business owner, a small bakery, you're the only person running the show. Like, you don't know about how to get access to these programs. And we know that this fourth stimulus, if it passes, could lift 7 million people out of poverty. And if, especially if we get an extension of the child tax credit, all of those things. You know, and actually getting people to, you know, getting money out to the communities that were hit the hardest. I mean, the fact that we, like, no hazard pay, like, come on. These people that are frontline employees, we heard from Jerome Powell the other day, the people that were hit the hardest, of course, were the people that were actually had to deal with the public. The people that have, like, the hospitality jobs, the people that are at the grocery stores, the people that are delivering food, people that work at the hospitals. So, you know, I'm hoping that this will push further now. It seems like something odd is happening, though, overnight, over the past few nights, is that President Biden, there's a number of Republicans that are now coming forward saying they're ready to support this infrastructure plan. Like, they're on board, even with the way it's been framed around green energy and tech. Like,
then something was slipped in there.
Interesting. Right.
Like, you got to ask yourself, yeah, what, I mean, was maybe some of the horse trading.
And we don't know yet because we haven't seen it, right? So they're starting to write this thing. They're just starting now to put pen to paper and starting to draft. So there's all this horse trading happening. So he meets yesterday at the White House with Republicans, and they came out of the meeting saying, we're encouraged. Right. So what do they say? Joe, I'd like a new baseball stadium in down here in Arkansas. What do you think, Joe? Sure, Senator, we'll get you that. That's how this horse trading happens. That's what you think,
Grover? Anytime they all get on board and they're like working together, that's when I'm very skeptical. I mean, if it's going to benefit the people, if it's going to benefit the military, then that's just, you know, that happens. That's just what they do. But if it's a bill that's going to benefit the people and they're all on board, that's when you want to be skeptical.
The people. I always think of Bane in Batman, Dark Knight Rises. For you, the good people of Gotham. Reclaim what is yours. Well, my fears, though, in all this stimulus talk, though, is the public perception of new jobs. You know, you saw that 60 Minutes piece. We showed it yesterday. If you missed yesterday's show, what's wrong with you? We do this show every morning live, 9 a.m. Eastern time. You should subscribe and be here with us. We have a great... great group of people that join us. Yesterday, though, we showed you that 60 Minutes interview with Jerome Powell from Sunday. And one of the ways that CBS framed it is like, this economy is going to boom. It's on its way. Stock market. I just got an alert a few minutes ago that the stock market has now surpassed its expectations and goals for the entire year. The stock market was set to grow at a pace about 10% this year. That was the expectation. By the end of 2021. Well, guess what? It's April 13th. They've now hit that goal. In April, 4 months into the year. Wall Street's doing fine. But my fear is that the public perception of it will be, or those on Wall Street will say, jobs are back. Wall Street's doing great. You know, those old Trumpian lines, right? Wall Street's doing great. Jobs are back. Yeah, at Fortune 500 companies. And we don't need another stimulus. When the truth of the matter is, 20 million people still out of work. The entire sectors of the economy gone. People sleeping in tents. So there's the marginalized that are truly pushed out. I mean, they're not even a part of the system. They're just totally left behind. So that's my fear, is that this perception of this recovery, booming recovery, gets all up in Congress's head, where they just start to ignore the broader picture of what's really happening out there in the suffering. Let's turn our attention to student loan forgiveness. And thanks to, I think we got a super chat here. I want to see if... Family Hero Channel says, I can't find a job in hospitality within a five-hour radius. Maybe it's time to learn another skill. 15 years down the drain. Thank you for that super chat. But yeah, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Like, entire sectors are gone. So you're starting, I mean, you're seeing all these, you're seeing all this craziness right now in some of the mainstream media coverage of how great things are. And I just fear that it's gonna trickle down into any kind of additional stimulus. But you have a number of new members of Congress now signing on for additional student loan, stimulus and recurring stimulus checks. Let's talk student loan forgiveness. I'm gonna get a little iced coffee here. By the way, I finally got our freezer, so now I have ice cubes.
Yeah, you got a big old ice cube in there. Nice.
I feel great. It feels great to have ice.
I thought you were a little bit more chipper today when you were running around in that onesie or whatever it's called. That
my onesie. That's right. Yeah, Grover loves seeing me in a onesie.
What is it called again?
A Snuggie.
Snuggie. Yeah, running around in your Snuggie this morning with the open back.
Oh, it's so good to get
I've got ice
back again. I missed it. Got ice. Yeah, it was this such a stupid story, but finally. Did you ever see that movie Mosquito Coast with Harrison Ford in the 1980s?
Yes.
It's an excellent movie, by the way, if you haven't seen it. And he like brings ice into the rainforest to show the natives like what ice looks like. That's what I felt like when I was finally made some ice cubes last night overnight. Like, I'm like, ice. Anyway, all right, let's talk about student loan forgiveness. A lot of news happening today on Capitol Hill. So Elizabeth Warren today, this is a big day for her. There's a big hearing today. Elizabeth Warren is going to hold a key hearing today on student loan debt and its impact on racial justice, student loan borrowers, and the economy. That's the hearing. Now, this is Elizabeth Warren's first hearing as the chair of the Senate Banking Committee. Right now, think about this, you know, this is a big deal because we know the inequality in student loans. We know I've brought you the stories of how people of color in the United States are adversely affected. They have way more student loan debt than white people. And it's because of a lot of the predatory lending practices that happen at historically black universities. And people of color looking to lift their family out of poverty are disproportionately affected by the allure of college. Like, hey, why don't you have your son be the first son and your first child in your family, first person in your family to go to college, right? And so I'm going to go massively into debt to do it, to make sure that my child is the first child, first person in this family that can go to college. And they're sold that bill of goods, and it's sickening. And they're just raking in all kinds of profits, these predatory colleges. It's time for in the United States for us to end this. Free public college, we need it. Europeans are not saddled with debt. I mean, this is ridiculous. You can become a lawyer or a doctor in Europe and have zero student loan debt. Not in the United States. So President Biden has been fishing around on this. Where is he going to come down on $50,000 in student loan forgiveness? We'll get there in a second. But right now, remember on the first day of his presidency, Biden enacted immediate student loan relief for millions of student loan borrowers. No federal student loan payments are owed right now. No interest will accrue on your federal student loans. No student loans in default will be collected. So that is through the end of September. So you have 9 months of this pause right now.
Well, and a lot of people always ask when you talk about this, is that you have to be sure that you understand it's only federal loans. Only federal are affected by any of this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not the private colleges, unfortunately. So any of these federal student loans, but it's no small thing. They account for $1.7 trillion of debt that you, how many of you right now in the chat, let me know how many of you have student loan debt? Heidi Levinson says, my daughter is the first to go to college in our family. She got high honors scholarship. There you go. Excuse me. Like my wife, she got a scholarship. I did not. I went into student loan debt to go to the University of Pittsburgh. And I know my parents did too. I mean, this is the thing. It's like, so you want to make sure your kids can go to college. Like, I had a great college experience. I learned a heck of a lot. But is it worth going into $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 in debt for a degree you may or may not ever use? That's what so many people do. They feel pressured to go into this system. And then they come out with a degree that they're not using and a massive amount of debt. And it sets them back 20 years.
Yeah, we've got a lot of people saying it. $75,000 in debt, $90,000 in debt, $42,000, $17,000. Yes, 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 yes. Lots of people in student loan debt.
Listen to this. Is it Idelia Rollins? Idelia says, I still have student debt. I'm 65. Interestingly, at this committee hearing today, or this hearing, a couple of people who are on the Senate Banking Committee had also defaulted on their loans. They're members of Congress, and they had massive student loan debt to the point of having to default on a loan at one point. So they understand. The question is, and the big news is that President Biden over the past few days has been meeting with officials and has shown encouragement and moving towards the $50,000 in student loan forgiveness mark. So that's positive news for out of the Biden administration, $50,000 in student loans. So today we are going to get some news out of this committee on student loans and student loan forgiveness. So keep it here. Because tomorrow, right here on the show, that's why you got to subscribe to the channel. Turn on that little bell notification. Because tomorrow, here on the show, we're going to have a follow up from this committee hearing to find out any more news on student loans. And we'll dive into that. We'll hear from Elizabeth Warren as well on the show tomorrow. Let's talk about the budget, shall we? Not a sexy topic, but boy, one that we have to talk about because we had some big news. We covered it this morning in the, what do you call it, that thing? Newsletter.
Newsletter.
We write a newsletter every morning.
Thank God. It's the ice. That ice is going to your head. Just haven't had it. Your elation is too high.
That's what she said. debt. I want to see this debt clock real quick here. The debt. Let me get you the debt clock. Yeah, here it is. So, you know, I don't know how many of you think we don't have a problem with our debt in the United States, but look at these numbers. U.S. national debt today. Debt per citizen, $85,000 per citizen, $224 per taxpayer.
You know what's crazy,
in its
too?
Monthly budget.
It's like, okay, so that I'm on the hook for a lot of that money. And what percentage of that money is military? So, and basically what you're saying is I've paid for, you know, weapons and stuff like that, which isn't fair.
Yeah.
55% of 55 no, we have or more percent of our taxes go to war.
No, we don't have any say. That'd be nice. Wouldn't it be great if we could tell the government like where to put our money?
I
want you to invest.
Tax.
So when you get my... Yeah, when you get my money, I want you to invest in child nutrition. Yeah, I want my money to go to green energy infrastructure. Can I choose that? It would be nice. Not bloody likely. It's my British accent. Sorry, he really didn't like that. My wife says I have the worst British accent, fake British accent. Grover agrees. In its monthly budget report, the Treasury Department overnight said that Monday, or last night, that the deficit for the first half of the budget year from October through March was up from a shortfall of $743 billion in the same period a year ago. The deficit has been driven higher, of course, by trillions of dollars in support that Congress has passed in these economic rescue packages since early March. And the latest round came in at $1.9 trillion that Biden signed just last month. But the Treasury report showed that through the first 6 months of this budget year, interest payments on the debt totaled $229 billion. Just the interest payments on this debt is $229 billion. Like, if you ran a company like this, you would be out of business immediately. I mean, you could not run a company like this. That we do it with our government. The national debt has more than doubled since this time last year to a record of $1.7 trillion. The interest alone on the debt, $200 billion per year. The government borrowed the money that it used for the stimulus and COVID packages. Those loans are secured by you, the taxpayers. When tax rates are at an all-time low, that means we're waiting on you to pay your taxes so that we can subsidize this whole stimulus.
Well, and part of the problem is
we have a massive shortfall of cash.
The Fed just goes into the computer and adds a bunch of zeros every month to you know, create more money out of thin air.
That's how much we're spending on defense and war. Feel good about that? Interest on the debt, amazing. You know, you want to know like how we can pay for things? That's how we can pay for things. Not do this. How about it? Wouldn't that be nice? We hope you don't, I hope at home you don't run your household budget this way. Maya McGinnis, president of the Bipartisan Committee for a Responsible, I love this. She's a she's a member of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. She told the Wall Street Journal this morning, we need to start paying for what we spend. We need a plan to bring down the debt. That's the most like Captain Obvious quote I've ever heard, right? Yeah, we need a plan. So what is this plan? Well, the president's plan is currently to hike taxes. Now, he met with lawmakers yesterday to discuss ways to pay for his $2.3 trillion infrastructure package, which is not yet written. We don't know. Republicans made it clear that they don't support a corporate tax hike. But clearly, an influx of tax dollars is needed to support all of this debt. How are they going to do that?
Oh, I know. Let me guess. They're going to increase the business tax rate to 35 to 45%. That's my guess, right? Because it's a Democrat.
No. It's at 21% right now. And President Biden has said he'd like to go as high as 28, but he's getting pushback even at that. It might not even go to 25. That's where Joe Manchin comes in. It might not move at all. So where are they going to get money for this? Where are we going to find some money?
It has to be from the big corporations somewhere, Clayton. It has to be. Like, this is a Democratic president, so they're going to take it from the wealthy. I'm very confident that's what's happening, so go ahead.
No, I'm sorry to burst your bubble. I'm sorry to burst your debt bubble. But it looks like, according to reports, that President Biden said in this meeting yesterday that he is open to a gas tax. Now, I want to rewind the clock a little bit because didn't the president said he would not raise taxes on anybody making less than $400,000 a year? But hey, newsflash, if you're paying a 5 cent per gallon, that's what it would be, 5 cent per gallon gas tax, that hits Americans right squarely in the wallet.
So wait a minute.
Those people that have to drive 30 minutes to and from work every day, or those people that pay for their, you know, their gas for their, to drive their trucks and all of that. For people making less than $400,000 a year.
So rather than the big companies like Amazon paying a higher tax, they're going to charge us a tax. We're going to pay for it to get to the jobs for the people that pay no taxes.
Right. That's how this works. It's America. That's how this works.
So we're going to
Sherry Craft in our chat says, no, not the gas. My van is a gas hog. Jennifer Locke says, gas tax will kick our butts. Amy Perkins says, wow, it's time to move out of the country.
Well, at least it'll hit the truckers and stuff the most. You know, they're the ones that drive the most, so they can afford it, right?
Yeah. At least it'll hit Americans who are already suffering. We saw the consumer price index come out just this morning, and that's up. So you're already seeing the cost of goods across the country up, right? So now it's okay, right? You guys are fine just paying more at the gas pump.
I mean, at least this is one time where Biden did keep his word, okay? He did tell the big businesses and stuff in that meeting that nothing would fundamentally change. So I guess at least he's keeping his word there. Oh, wait, but he's lying to us?
I know, it's shocking. Now, I love to see if this is like a trial balloon. Like, if he's just floating this idea, leaks it out, and see what, you know, how does America respond to it?
Yeah, but, like, isn't that kind of too coincidental that Buttigieg would be talking about that, then Biden's talking about it? It's like, you know, like I said, if something benefits the people, you can almost guarantee it's not going to pass. If it benefits the big businesses, then chances are it's going to pass. They're going to figure out a way to put this tax on us, because it's all our burden. It's our burden that they don't care. So somehow we will pay for it.
Yeah, and here this is breaking news. Just now, I was waiting for these numbers. Inflation accelerated in March. That means your dollar is worth less today, folks. Inflation accelerated in March due to strengthening economy, rising energy prices. Rising energy prices, the consumer price index, up 2.6%. 2.6%. So you're paying more for things. Paying more for things, and your dollar is not going anywhere. The Labor Department said Tuesday that the Consumer Price Index, which measures what consumers pay for everyday items, including groceries, clothing, recreational activities, and vehicles, jumped 2.6% in the year. But see, this is the kind of stuff I love. It's like, this is like, I like these guys. Like, inflation in March 2021 is still under control, says Gus Foucher, chief economist at PNC Financial Services Group. It takes time for inflationary pressures to build in the economy. I just want to circle that. Because how many of you guys are already feeling this at home? Are you guys feeling this yet? It takes time. Have you guys felt any of this? I can tell you, just if you watch my show, and all you need to do, economist, is just watch my show to see people who are actually suffering.
Well, and Chris,
to earn a living, trying to make money.
Chris Wessels has a question. If we don't spend on military, then we are just opening the door for China to take over. Yes, no, maybe?
No. So let me just give you, this is what drives me nuts. I saw this morning. This is an example right here of the type of propaganda that you're already seeing about our threat of China, the China threat.
You know
this is CNN, right?
What's crazy when you read that article too? They're saying that it's swarming parts of the South China Sea. How do we know that? Because we're there.
Right.
Yeah. How dare they bring boats into their own waters? We're here.
China doesn't acknowledge their existence, and when questioned, refers to them as a so-called maritime militia. But Western experts say the alleged militia is an integral part of Beijing's effort to exert its territorial claims in the South China Sea and beyond. Yes, they're all funded by the People's Liberation Army. They can quickly quickly bring a Chinese presence so large around disputed reefs and islands, they're almost impossible to challenge without triggering a military confrontation. Folks, this is how they lie to you and tell you that you need to keep spending and spending and spending money on the military because they want you to be scared. They want you to be scared of the China threat. Then it was Russia. Now it's the China threat. So we need to keep funneling $715 billion a year into this garbage.
For all we know, those ships might be there to fight Asian carp. We have no idea.
Right. Those crazy Asian carp, they'll literally jump out of the water and smack you in the head. We need a whole military presence in the South China Sea. You know what? Even beyond that, we need 900 military bases around the world just to prevent an Asian carp invasion. You know, people are so dumb that I bet if one day during a press conference at the Pentagon, our defense secretary gets up there and says, I don't know if you've seen it. You might have seen it. The Godzilla threat is real. Now, we've been talking about it for years, but we need to increase our presence in the South China Sea because of Godzilla. You'd have people that would believe that.
Mm-hmm. You know, did you hear?
Oh, yeah, I saw that movie.
Did you hear what Kamala Harris said? I believe it was yesterday, the day before. It might have been a little bit longer. But anyway.
Yes.
About we fought wars on oil and now we're going to be fighting wars over water.
Yeah. Yeah, this was an interesting moment. See if I can find it here. She was at a press event and she was talking about our nation's security and she basically let slip about water as being the next frontier over I found it here. I'm going to pull it up here.
Joe Biden is very serious.
Just give me a second. But this is how we're all lied to, folks. And this is what the mainstream media will not tell you. MSNBC won't cover this story. They're not going to cover this story because they have all their military leaders and experts on there who are telling you to be in love with going to war. You know, let's bring in General What's-His-Name now to tell us about why war is great and how we need to be worried about China. This ad here, sorry. Here we go.
About being probably the most pro-labor president we have ever had.
Browser is not playing the audio. You can't hear that, can you?
About ours being the most...
We can hear it.
You guys can't hear that.
Yeah, we can hear it.
Oh, you can hear her?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I can't hear it, so... All right.
Pro-labor administration. And so in the American Jobs Plan, it's about building back up our infrastructure in a way that we leapfrog. So it's not just about repair. It's about building things. It's about fixing things and building things. We talk about water policy. That's a big deal here in Chicago and in Illinois. Water policy, to do better, well, we need to construct places where we capture water, places where we store water. And here's the other thing, because I also, you know, I'm in a lot of meetings on foreign policy. You know, for years and generations, wars have been fought over oil. In a short matter of time, they will be fought over water. So when we think about building up our economy around our infrastructure on something like water policy, it's literally about jobs. It's about the fundamental source of life that Tammy Duckworth was talking about. It will sustain life. And it's about strengthening up our nation around a commodity that is a precious commodity. And so why am I talking about that here? Because also, you know the jobs that are necessary? I was in Oakland, the place of my birth, yesterday, looking at a water treatement facility.
Did she say
and
it?
And I was there hanging out.
Yeah, she
out
said
with...
it. Sorry. Did she already said it.
Okay, good.
So you know,
I couldn't hear.
When she says that about, you know, a commodity, fighting over a commodity, a lot of people don't realize, like if you look at, what was it, world fruit or whatever, like how we own Hawaii because of a commodity, because of pineapple. You know, like whenever the United States wants a commodity, wants something like that, a resource, we go take it, whether it's oil, whether it's water, and we take it militarily. I mean, that's just what we do. So what she's basically saying is, get ready, because we're going to be militarily taking water now and oil.
I thought a lot about this because I'm like, where are we going to go to get the water? You know, is this why we have all this Arctic, you know, exploration happening? Why there's all sorts of submarines up in the Arctic? You know, yes, we have entire states that frankly probably shouldn't even exist. The city of Las Vegas shouldn't really even exist, right? These like artificial areas that are draining water from the Colorado River just to exist. You know, but we managed to do it. Like Vegas the other day, they just passed an ordinance. They're about to vote on it, I think, which will ban anybody having grass. Like if you can't walk on it, you can't water it, you're not getting grass in your yard anymore. Like they're tired of wasting water just on grass, finally. Because we have a water crisis.
Well, and think about that. And she was calling that water a precious commodity, and that's something that, you know, everybody needs. But like, if they really cared about that, like the people in Flint wouldn't be in the position they're in.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, they can't even count on clean drinking water. You know, lead-based drinking water. But this is going to be the new, yeah, we're going to be told that these things, you're absolutely right about conquering. I mean, look at, you know, Puerto Rico, for crying out loud. We want sugar cane. You know, we go into Kuwait, set up military bases there just to protect our oil interests. Yeah. You might have missed this.
It's kind of like quinoa. So quinoa was something that the United States all of a sudden got all interested in. Everybody wants quinoa. And so now the people who actually grow the quinoa can't even afford their own quinoa to eat because we buy it all. We take all of it. Like whenever there's a commodity that we like, we just completely scour the earth and suck it all into the United States and take it from people who've been eating it for, you know, millennia.
I didn't know that about quinoa. See, you learn something new every day here.
Yeah,
on the show.
Avocados. Quinoa. I mean, anything that we like. Oh, avocado on toast, United States, it's popular. Guess what? Avocados now are like, you know, basically creating drug warlords and drug lords and stuff.
The avocado lords. Yeah. Yeah. So whoever was in our chat asking about China, and this is the propaganda you've been sold. That we need to spend, 10 times more than all of the other industrialized nations combined for military, because we always need to have a new enemy. Like now that Russia is kind of fading, or we're saying our goodbyes to Russia, now our new big enemy is China. If it's not China, it's Al-Qaeda. It's somebody else. You know? It's the Taliban. It's somebody else. It's always somebody else. And the funny part is that we end up then funding these groups at the same time half the time. Like Al-Qaeda, for instance.
That's like what I was saying with General Wesley Clark, where he said, if you have such a big military, every problem has to look like a nail. If you're a hammer, every problem has to look like a nail. And so we have to militarily look at every situation because we have to justify that budget. If we can't have a boogeyman... And there's nobody that we have to attack or somebody that we have to do that, then they can't justify that budget.
Right. Yeah, you need an enemy. That's like a movie, right? You need to have a bad guy in a hero's journey. You need to go into the belly of the beast at some point. There needs to be a Darth Vader for Star Wars to be effective. So you need the boogeyman. You need China. So you're going to see on CNN, you know, I always love going to CNN.com because I see these stories about China all the time. And it's hilarious. I mean, stuff is like, you know, it's there every day. And it's always analysis. China. Oh, yeah, here. U.S. to increase our military presence in Germany. Yeah, let's go. We need... Because World War II is still happening.
Yeah.
We're sending more there to the Wiesbaden area of Germany. Yeah, we need that. Yeah. We need that. Okay. Good. Let's ramp up in Germany too.
You know, it's,
right, let's talk about this Coinbase site. Like,
real quick, that we went there in World War II and we never left.
And Japan.
Japan, yeah. Never left.
We love our bases there. All right, let's talk some finance now. And let's try to make some money, because tomorrow, folks, huge day for the stock market and a little known company called Coinbase. Tomorrow, Coinbase is going to go public. This is going to be a big, big deal. Coinbase, of course, is the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange. They're going to be on the NASDAQ on the with the symbol coin, COIN will be their symbol. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Are you going to jump into Coinbase tomorrow as a stock purchase, or are you going to run far away from it? I'm hearing, you know, a number of big ETF providers are jumping into this. They're going to have Coinbase as part of their ETF portfolio. That's, I think, one of the reasons why you're seeing right now, you're seeing Bitcoin just exploding at this hour. I mean, it's already been hitting records today. It already was up. I'm just going back to the Bitcoin screen here just a second. Yeah, here's Bitcoin at this hour. Look at that, 62,000 already. 62,000. And that's only, I'm sorry, I was looking at the wrong one. Yeah, 62,000. It was at 63, right, as the show was starting today, up 3%. Now, millions of people are going to learn about Coinbase for the first time tomorrow. They're going to hear all the news. They're wondering how they're going to jump into crypto. You're going to see Bitcoin just explode. And it's going to be interesting to see how many people jump into this stock of Coinbase. There's already valuations this morning that it's $100 billion. And as big as Goldman Sachs for this, this is like the biggest IPO of the year, I think. This was like a Facebook going public kind of moment right now. And much bigger than that. So will you guys jump into it? I'm waiting to see what's going to happen. But it's interesting when you get some of these big institutionals who are jumping into this right now, especially on the ETF side, these exchange-traded funds, and they're going to have Coinbase as a part of their exchange-traded funds.
Sure. It's such a big deal because it's the first large-cap pure-play crypto equity in the U.S. markets or in any markets. I mean, we're talking about a company with a valuation between $50 and $100 billion. You and I have talked about this, Bob. That makes it bigger than NASDAQ. It makes it bigger than the parent company of the New York Stock Exchange. And the growth is so phenomenal that you can't ignore it. This is a company that 10x'd earnings on a year-over-year basis. You just don't see this kind of growth from large cap equities. And every investor, not just crypto investors, are going to have to reckon with that growth, think about where it's going, and decide if it belongs in a portfolio. And that just makes it a game changer for where crypto exists in the total capital market spectrum.
Yeah, and you see this runaway from the US dollar, Coinbase going public tomorrow as the biggest crypto exchange. Now, I use Coinbase just to get money into the market. I think their fees are pretty high. And I think that that's one of the downsides of this as a stock investment. Like if you're looking at it for something like a long-term hold for Coinbase, look, you know, their fees are pretty high. And so what happens is you can have a disruption come in the same way that Robinhood, in my opinion, Robinhood disrupted, you know, the stock trading market, some of those exchanges. And so did Webull. So they have no cost, low commissions or zero commission trades. And Coinbase right now still charges a premium for these trades to buy Bitcoin. But when you have these other disruptives coming in, like Binance and other exchanges, who says, you know what, we're going to do zero commission trades. That's going to really hurt Coinbase's margins over the next year or 2 years. So I don't know that they're $100 billion. Are they really worth $100 billion? So tomorrow we'll see. First thing, opening bell on the NASDAQ, they are live with their public offering. And I don't even know what the price is yet on it. But I have some friends that are sitting there waiting to jump in. Others said they're going all in. I don't know. It'll be an interesting one to see. I think I'm going to sit this one out personally and see where the chips fall and see if this is a long-term kind of play. But everyone gets hyped up on these IPOs, you know, in the first few days, and they get really excited about it. I always think with IPOs, the people that make all the money are the people that are invested ahead of time, before they go public, you know, before they make these big moves. The people that made all the money in Facebook made it before it IPO'd. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Clem says, Katie Bedrowski says, Robinhood will probably close the trades, though, if it hurts big business. That's right. Just like the GameStop. Yeah. So let me know your thoughts on that. Where you guys come down, by the way. So if you joined us late, Johnson & Johnson halting, or the FDA halting Johnson & Johnson. Let's see where this was big news this morning. U.S. calling for a pause on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine after clotting.
And we have some people that are saying that they had them scheduled, you know, this week, and are asking if they should cancel or whatever. So does that mean if they had a scheduled appointment for a Pfizer vaccine, does that mean that the doctor would cancel them? Johnson & Johnson, I'm sorry.
What I heard from one doctor this morning that said that that's the case, that they are just they are going to cancel those appointments. Like if you had it scheduled with a Johnson & Johnson one this week, it's just not going to happen until the FDA or the CDC changes this. But it's a pause right now. They're not allowed to. I saw someone else saying they just got one yesterday. His wife just got one yesterday. Fingers crossed that she's okay. Hopefully everything's fine. Again, not to scare people. I mean, look, six people were affected. It seems had these clotting issues out of millions who received this. So let's put this in perspective. But at the same time, like if that's your mom that ended up, you know.
Well, you always got to wonder too. That's what's been reported. Like people could have went in for blood clots and, right. And maybe that connection hasn't even been made yet. Like who even knows?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So big, big deal here. Let me grab some
ice.
I'm going to grab some pet photos here. Do we get any super chats? No, I don't need any more ice.
Yes. So Richard Lehman, I am from Philly. Favorite cheesesteak place?
Oh, my favorite cheesesteak place is John's Roast Pork in South Philly. To me, there is nothing better. John's Roast Pork in South Philly is the best. If you're ever in Philadelphia, don't waste your time going to the tourist spots like Pat's and Gino's and that kind of stuff, which are fine. And I'm friends with the owners of those places. In fact, they have a picture of me up on the wall in Gino's.
For eating the biggest.
So if you go to Gino's, don't
steak, Philly steak.
Yeah. Just if you go to Gino's, don't smudge my picture, okay? Don't put cheesesteak sauce on it. John's Roast. Let me look it up here. John's Roast.
We got pork. Omana, we Rhonda Hunt, Luis Hoffman, Tone Cowtown, and Hap as new members. Welcome, everyone.
You can become a channel member, too, if you'd like. Tell them how they can do that. It's
yeah,
very
so
simple to do.
All you have to do is go to this URL. It is morninginvest.com/join, and you can become a channel member and you can chat and also get extra videos and stuff sometimes. And actually, did you do a members only stream last Saturday?
Yes, I did we did a stream last Saturday for folks on just basics of trading.
Yeah, so you get extra streams and stuff like that as well as a member. So sign up, morninginvest.com/join.
Look at that. This is, they have the pork sandwich at John's Roast Pork, but they have their ultimate cheesesteak. And so, yes, they do pork sandwiches. That's why it's called John's Roast Pork. But I love this place. Oh, my gosh. It's the best. And the good news, the funny is they're only open until 3 p.m. And so, like, they only do lunch and there'll be like a line out the door. And these are all locals that go there. So it's like tourists don't even really know about it, which is, you know. So anyway. That's John's Roast Pork in South Philly, down near the IKEA, if you're in South Philly.
Now my mouth's watering. Love and Light Paranormal. What, in your opinion, is the best stock to invest in? It's my belief the Roaring Twenties are coming back. What should I invest in? I have almost $3,000.
Well, I'm not a big fan of paper assets, as you know. If it comes to stocks, first of all, I'm not a financial advisor, so I can't tell you what stock to invest in. I can just tell you some of the stocks that I invest in personally, like Apple, Ford, companies that are not going anywhere. DCSX, which I showed you the other day, you would have made up 16%. I featured the other day here on the show. That's an OTC stock. But again, I'm taking that I take that 3,000 personally, and I'd be looking at crypto plays, coins, and turn that into a couple $100,000.
Can you say what an OTC stock is for those of us that have no idea what this world is?
So an OTC stock just means over the counter.
Oh.
Yeah. OTC is just over-the-counter stock. It's just a smaller cap stock that's not on Webull or it's not on Robinhood. You have to go to some of the bigger exchanges, like E-Trade is the one I use. So like this stock, for instance. This stock here. Hold on, let me pull this up. Like this one I showed you the other day. If you invested in this one, I told you about it. Like today, it's up 3%. Like, you would have bought into this one. This is an OTC stock. So this is, you can't get this on Webull. You can't get this on Robinhood. You'd have to go to a TD Ameritrade or an E-Trade or a Fidelity, one of the big exchanges that can do some of these OTC stocks. But I'm just saying, you know, as far as coins go, $3,000, I'm telling you, Ethereum right now is going to explode. I mean, it's already up. If you invested in Ethereum the other day when I told you about it, pull my Ethereum chart here. Here we go. Yeah. When I told you the other day, Ethereum, I told you at about 2,100, I think I told you about Ethereum. You would have already been up three, more than that. So this, I think Ethereum is going to go, in my opinion, Ethereum is going to hit 10,000 here in a not too distant future. The thing with Ethereum is that so many exchanges are built using their technology, Ethereum. And that's the symbol ETH. So that's a smart, you know, simple coin to get involved with, in my opinion. I have a lot of Ethereum.
Katie Wilgo in chat said, a group of greedy businessmen from the United States came to Hawaii and stole Hawaii from the Hawaiians. You know your history in 1943. That would be United Fruit. If you guys want to do some reading and see what a very villainous corporation has been in the world that has to do with bananas and pineapple and all this stuff that's happened, look up United Fruit and read about it. Because it is, you'll be just blown away by how corrupt and damaging that company has been around the world.
Awful.
Yeah. George Shannon, Pamela Sloan, new members, welcome. Sani Garrett, these vaccines are one size fits all. At least that is their view. I'm allergic to 13 medications. Thanks, but no thanks. The risk is too great for me. Family Hero Channel. Seven kids and I can't see myself drowning in debt to go back to school. Ugh, need a change, but can't find it. UBI now.
Yeah. We'll see. You know, I think there's been a number of these pilot programs now of UBI that's shown that it's effective. You're having a number of, you know, 74 members of Congress are now calling for UBI through the end of this pandemic. Something's got to happen here. And this is the time in the administration maybe to make it happen right now if they want to leave a legacy.
Norman Collins, Clayton, I'm worried my wife took the Johnson & Johnson vaccine literally yesterday. Pray she doesn't catch a blood clot.
Well, we're praying for her as well.
Rick Flock, Zenith Star 20, and Jesse Ray, new members, welcome. Blue Orchid, gas tax means truckers pay more, which means goods are going to inflate even more than they already were going to. Expletive, time to go off grid. Well, but the truckers pay doesn't really, you know, the truckers will pay more in gas tax, but that doesn't necessarily equate to the products going up because, you know, they usually get a lump sum for taking stuff plus maybe a mileage thing, but the cost of their rigs and stuff is generally on them, their gas and stuff. If they're independent, there's a lot of independent truckers out there.
Right.
Amy Perkins, I've never done stock trading before. What's the best platform to get started?
I use Webull. That's the one I use. Plus, if you sign up with Webull through our link here, you get two free stocks when you sign up. You just have to, yeah, you open the account and they enter you for a chance to win some of these premium stocks also, up to $1,600 in stock. So just open the account for free. It's a brokerage, so you have to prove that you're a human being. You have to show your ID and all that. It's like a bank account. And then when you deposit $100 into the account, they'll give you a second free stock. So yeah, I love Webull. That's the one that I use every day. Morninginvest.com/Webull. Their desktop app is pretty awesome. I use their iPad app as well. I'll show you here. Here's my iPad. Yeah, I got it right in front of me here. Take my camera. So this is my, I've got it right here. Here's their desktop app that I've got right on there. Well, the iPad app right here. So I like that. It's quite nice.
Will Serrano, I have $500 to invest. Should I put it in ETH? If so, what buy-in price, or buy a share of Coinbase at the predicted $400 per?
Again, I can't give you financial advice. I can't tell you where to put your money. You might consider, when you have all of these big pumping stocks happening, right? You have like ETH, you know, Ethereum going to jump. It's put like to 10,000. You have, you know, Bitcoin is crushing it today, up to 63,000 all time high. There's a lot of collateral on the outside of those stocks and coins that you might consider, right? There's a lot of really cheap ones that exist that are like fractions of a penny. So you can, because of those, you could see huge returns. So I would consider looking at some of the DeFi platform coins in the decentralized finance section. So like AVAX is something like you might want to pay attention to. Do your homework on that. As far as an altcoin, look at Burger Swap is one I bought into this morning, actually. So that's an interesting one and very cheap. Let me show you that on Binance.
Burger Swap, what's that, like a fast food chain for swingers?
Let me see if I can pull it up here. It's just burger/BNB. Yeah, I can't pull it up on this screen. But check that one out. I jumped into that one last night. Let me see what that's trading at right now. Dogecoin is up 20% after Elon Musk tweeted about it again, saying it's going to the moon.
We have Mike Collier and Juliet Wegman, and I already mentioned that, that are new members. Welcome. Family Hero Channel. My wife says I have a man crush. LOL, LOL. Love your shows, Clayton. Nothing wrong with a man crush.
That's true. So this is Burger. Excuse me. There. Burger BNB. Okay. Burger BNB. It's, yeah. So that's trading right now 0.01. So imagine taking $500 and putting it into that, and then it jumps. I invested in that this morning. Already it's up 10%. So daddy made some good money on this one this morning. Just watching those charts, and that's the thing. It's just like watching some of these charts and studying this. As I learn, you know, that's the thing. It's just like a matter of taking the time to learn how these things move, buying breakouts, buying, you know, buying in these dips so that you're not buying at the top. And you get sort of FOMO, you know, fear of missing out. So you jump in when everyone's already talking about something. Don't do that. Just be patient. Wait for these dips to come back down.
Alicia NW, so, who do you recommend for a first-time investor? A friend suggested Robinhood, but I'm not so keen on that.
First-time stock investor, I am a fan of Webull. Again, you know, and you get free stocks with it. I think Robinhood gives you one free stock. Webull gives you two free stocks.
I think Public
plus Robinhood,
is
another. Man. Yeah, Public's another good one. You can follow me on Public if you want too. I use both of those. Public works like a really is like a good social media network as well. Like they teach you a lot.
Yeah, well, and that's what I've been liking about it. I get these notifications, and it's like telling me, hey, this one looks good because of this, and I read the article and stuff. Like, I've been kind of liking that experience at Public.
Yeah, and I've been writing some articles over at Public as well. So it's nice. I have both of them, you know, because there's just different stocks available on these different exchanges. So I have a bunch of different accounts, and don't be shy about trying them out and see what you like, you know. So give it a shot. And if you're over on Public, just go to morninginvest.com/public. You get a free stock. So why not open both accounts? Get a free Tesla stock. Get an Apple stock. That's what Public gives away. So just go to morninginvest.com/public, get a free stock, and then follow me over there because I post articles and just different information about what's happening in the markets. So
JDV, check out ADA. It's made by the co-founder of ETH.
Yep. By the co-founder of Ethereum. So ADA, another one to pay attention to. You know, and you want to figure out what type of an investor you want to be. Do you want to be a day trader, somebody who's going to be there every day making trades? Or do you want to be a long-term investor? Do you want to be someone who buys something and doesn't really pay much attention to it and just buys it like Bitcoin or Ethereum? If you want to be a day trader and you want to make some good money, that's when you got to be paying attention to your portfolio every day. And you can certainly be doing that with some of these altcoins, these smaller cap coins, and then playing some of these moves and taking profits. When you get 20% profits, don't be shy. Like, that's what I do. I sell out of it. Then I take my 20% profit and reinvest it.
Leslie Lavertu, I got the Pfizer vaccine yesterday and there was no other to choose from at that site. Richard Lehman, VeChain just partnered with DHL Delivery. Hashtag vet.
Yeah, I wish I would have gotten in on VeChain. I didn't. That saw massive. And here's a coin, though, that I think could have VeChain type growth. ZIL. So I invested heavily into ZIL personally. Siliqua is the name of it. ZIL. As a small, so here is ZIL. I got to get a better way of showing this, but right up here, ZIL. I bought big into ZIL, and I think that has a lot of similarities to VeChain from the charts that I've been looking at. So we could see a huge parabolic upswing on that one if it hits that. So I'm keeping a close eye on that one as well.
Rick Flatch, what's your thoughts on stablecoin?
Well, it depends, like, what kind of stablecoin. Like, if you're, you know, they're stable assets, they're meant to minimize risk. If we're talking about government currency as a stablecoin, it could be like, you can have a stable coin that's pegged to cryptocurrency. We could have a stable coin that's pegged to the US dollar. I don't own any. I don't think I do. But they're kind of like they can be pegged to anything, quite honestly. So we could see stable coins as it relates to the US dollar, like I said, the Federal Reserve, Chinese currency, Japanese currency. So these stable coins are meant to be just safer. And I think you're going to see, to me, in many ways, it's going to be like a mutual fund. So I think people who don't want to be day traders or are scared of the volatility, it might be good for them. They're tied to other things, I guess is the better way to put it. So these coins are not tied to the algorithm like Bitcoin is, or these other coins. These stable coins are tied to, it could be tied to precious metals. They could be tied to something that's considered more stable. I guess would BNB, is BNB a stable coin? I don't know if BNB is a stable coin or not. I don't think, is it? Not sure. But their value is kind of fixed. They're more commodity backed. You know, you could have like a gold coin, basically.
Brian Price, PayPal crypto, any good?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I am not invested in that. You mean using PayPal? As you can pay now with PayPal or crypto on PayPal.
Yeah, I wasn't aware PayPal had a crypto.
I don't know. I don't think they do. They have a coin. I don't think they have a coin, do they?
I didn't know they did. I never.
No, and you can just pay with Bitcoin, Ethereum, and some others.
Yeah,
in their checkout service. But I was wondering if they announced their own coin. But
two more super chats. Rain wants to know how to convert to coin. Coinbase.
To coin. To coin or you want to convert to a digital coin. I think if that's what you mean. So what I do is Coinbase has their own digital coin called USDC. It's a one-for-one dollar exchange, and they don't charge you any fee for it. So when I put money into the system, I put money into Coinbase, and I buy USDC, which is their version of the US dollar. Then from there, I transfer that, because I don't buy anything in Coinbase because the fees are too high. And then I transfer that money out of Coinbase. I transfer the USDC that I just bought. I transfer that to Binance. That's the exchange that I use, Binance. That's where I do my trading, is on Binance. Hope that helps.
And then Tone Cowton, great show. Glad to be back. I've learned so much from you guys. I really appreciate it. And there, now that's all.
Thank you so much. Well, thank you, everyone. Really appreciate it. Grover, thanks you so much for joining us today in his newfound spot on my Snuggie, on my pit Snuggie. Much love to all of you. We will, don't forget to sign up for our daily newsletter. Just go to morninginvest.com. It's totally free. We deliver it first thing in the morning to you. Hopefully we help you, makes you smarter, more informed to start your day. And we'll be back here tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. That's when we do this show, first thing in the morning. Much love to all of you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.